I don't think there's been a time in American history from the colonial era to the present when the culture has been so predominantly anti-Christian. There have been times when the culture has been manifestly unchristian, but for at least a decade now, our culture has grown increasingly anti-Christian. This should not surprise us. A strong spiritual war is being waged even as we gather here tonight and worship. Indeed, the evil one has been conducting war against God's chosen people from the time he tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And this war has never ceased. Just look at the Scriptures. One of the overarching themes in Scripture is the spiritual war in heaven and on earth. And it will not end until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. In the meantime, we are called to put on the whole armor of God, as the Apostle Paul sets it forth in Ephesians 6. We are called to stand firm and remain obedient to all of God's commands. His commands include calling the church to be a missional church. We are to spread the good news of Jesus Christ at home and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is why those of you that are members and regular attenders at Christ the King know that we split the money 50-50. Half of it goes to meet our current needs, but the other half goes to support home and foreign missions and compassion, because we're called to be a missional church. This is our calling. The spirits of our time, among them relativism, inoffensivism, political correctness, alas, have been infecting the church. Indeed, many Christians believe we need to become like the world in order to win the world for Jesus Christ. But I submit to you, this is wrong. The only way to win the world is to lift up Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw people to me." I can say from my own personal experience, and I know many of you can too, that when people who drink deeply from the cup of the world find the taste increasingly bitter, they seek a genuine alternative to the world, not a cheap imitation of it. I've never met a man or woman who grew weary of the world's pleasures. And sin is fun for a season, isn't it? Anyone who says it isn't, I don't know that you've tasted it. But there are the times when the chandeliers are glistening and glasses are tinkling and people are laughing and having a good time. But at some point, the dregs of the cup begin to leave a bitter taste in your mouth. And when that happens, you don't want people playing at church trying to compete with the world. We don't have the resources to compete with the world, and we don't want to do it anyway. The church must continue to lift up Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else." These words are harsh to the worldlings today. There is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name by which people must be saved. And even when this proclamation of the narrow way is done prayerfully and sensitively, and we hope it is, we will be persecuted. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, and He's saying to us, "If the world hates me, they're going to hate you. In the world you will have tribulation," Jesus said, "but be hopeful, for I've overcome the world." Jesus also said, "I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves." And Peter wrote in his epistle, he said, Why? He wrote to the Christians. He said, why are you surprised? You're being persecuted. Our Lord said this is the way it would be. I can't help but when I stand in this gloriously decorated chapel and I look at these busts of these various martyrs and I look up here in this great cloud of witnesses and people like Saint Perpetua and others as we go around and round to see that those who hold up the banner of Christ, who speak boldly about Jesus Christ, are persecuted. Many of them are martyred. But remember, as you see in the book of Acts and as we know throughout church history, the blood of the martyrs is the very fertilizer that causes a great harvest around the world. The more people are scattered, the more they're persecuted, the more the gospel will go out. You say, Lyle Dorsett, what does this have to do with Lent? Well, I say this, we need to be strong spiritually. We need to be very strong spiritually if we are to fight the good fight, keep the faith, and finish the race. We must be riveted on the Lord Jesus Christ, have our eyes on glory, our commitment to Him, if we're going to finish what we're called to do. I'm asking you, dear friends, and some of you I don't know yet, I want you to join me in celebrating the next 40 days, a holy and purposive Lent. I personally find Lent to be a time of year to have a spiritual checkup. I go to my medical doctor every 6 months, and there are some differences in what happens at each time, but in essence, I have a first-rate physical checkup every year to see how I'm doing, to see if there are any things I need to change, any things I need to get rid of or need to add. I need that to make sure I'm healthy and can keep moving. But I need at least an annual spiritual checkup. I need to get into the presence of the Spirit of the Great Physician and have Him search my soul and show me if there's any necrosis that set in, if there's any sickness. And so I like to go into this season of Lent, and I start it tonight, and some of you will be joining me, to enter a time when we practice some spiritual disciplines with the goal saying, Lord, search my heart. In the spirit of Psalm 139, Lord, search me and show me if there are unclean things, unhealthy things. And when we see them, to cry out with King David, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. I like to practice the disciplines that are laid out here that Mary read from the Gospel reading in Matthew chapter 6. You know, it's important to keep in mind that Jesus was not against spiritual disciplines. He never was against them. He practiced them himself. What He was against was doing spiritual disciplines to attract attention to ourselves. Jesus assumed that His loyal followers would be involved in prayer, in fasting, and in giving to help the poor, the needy, those that are marginalized and broken. That Jesus was committed to these things is not debatable. Notice here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, Jesus says, when you give to the needy, not if you're going to give to the needy, when you give to the needy, do it quietly, no trumpets, no attention to yourself. You come on down here to verse 5, He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who are trying to attract attention to your piety in your prayer life. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, go to the secret place, shut the door, and commune with your heavenly Father. Verse 7, when you pray, don't use empty words and heap up things that are meaningless. No. Verse 16. And when you fast, not if you're going to fast, Jesus assumes we'll fast, but don't do it to attract attention to yourself. Do it in a way that will bring glory to God. And from my angle of vision, one of the best ways to bring glory to God through these things is to go through these disciplines and these exercises so that I can hear more clearly from my Lord. When I fast and when I exercise some of these disciplines, it gives me an opportunity when I begin to miss what I'm fasting from to say, Lord, where are the idols on the high place of my life that need to go? Lord, help me consider anew this Lenten season what you want me to do with my resources. Am I giving sacrificially enough to bring glory to you and to please you, my Lord? Am I using my time in a way that's going to bring glory to you? Lord, help me, search me, and show me. And of course, the purpose here is for us to have the spiritual checkup so we can see what needs to go, what maybe needs to be added, so that we'll be strong enough to go forth and carry on the calling of our lives. This has got to be done continuously, but Lent is a good season. As we remember the 40 days Jesus was in the wilderness and He was fasting and praying for us to identify with Him in preparation for our great celebration for the resurrection. It's a privileged time. It's a privileged time. You and I, sisters and brothers, have been saved so that we can live for Jesus Christ and bring glory to Him, not ourselves. You and I have been saved to do His will, and this includes pointing people to Him and leading healthy spiritual lives that give our witness credibility. The only way to do this is to go deep with Him and get focused on Him. It's finally about Him. It's not about the disciplines. It's not about our giving. It's not about what we give up. It's not what we take. It's all about Him. And when our fasting and praying and giving flows out of His love for us and our understanding of His love for us and our desire to thank Him by loving Him back, then He will be glorified and people whom we're able to bless will be blessed and meet Him. Tonight, I say to you, consider prayerfully joining me in a holy and purposeful Lent. Let's get a spiritual checkup. And where we need to get some changes, let's do it. We got to stay in shape, sisters and brothers. There's a war for souls out here. And we need all of us in this battle. Let's pray.